Well, Lord God, we give you thanks that you are our light and our salvation. We thank you that you are, your word is a lamp unto our feet. We thank you that you continue to open up your way for us. And we thank you that you have something for each individual here this morning. We thank you that you speak to us as individual members of the body. You speak to us as a body, but you also speak to each one of us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is our helper and who applies the words to our hearts and helps us to be open, helps us to be obedient and trusting. Well, Lord, we know that if we're hearers only, it won't make a whole lot of difference. But you have called us to be doers of the word. And so we want this word that's planted into our hearts today be a word that we follow, that we respond to, that we trust in and obey. As we trust and obey you, our Lord and God, order our steps in your word, O Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. We have been involved in a sermon series for the last five Sundays. The sermon series has been God has given us everything we need to grow up. Okay? That's been our theme. God has given us everything we need to grow up into Christ Jesus, and to grow up as God's children. And we have recognized that God has given us the power to comprehend, to envision, to see into the mysteries of God's plan, that we might step out and begin to walk into what God has for us. And God has given us gifts for ministry, by which we can minister to one another and build up the body of Christ, by which we grow. God has given us a lifestyle to replace the old lifestyle, so we can grow into that new life. And last Sunday we talked about how God has given us wisdom and worship. He's given us word and spirit by which we grow. Today's topic is God has given us weapons of the Spirit that we might grow up. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20.
A reading from Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes on your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these things, take the shield of faith, with which we'll be able to quench all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I give thanks to God for the message that we heard Friday night from Pastor Wofford, particularly for its reminder to the Church of Jesus Christ that while we extend the open arms of Jesus and the welcome of Jesus, and that we are saved by grace through faith, and so our hearts and our welcome are a welcome of acceptance, we are at the same time accepting people into a changed life, amen, into growth, change, transformation. So as we extend the open arms of Jesus and we invite people to come on in, at the same time we are having to speak the words of Jesus. Repent and have faith, for the reign of God is at hand. You know, turn around. What you've been into hasn't helped you. What God is bringing you into is going to help you. There is something we are coming out of, and there's something we're coming into. And we are to grow into that new thing. Part of our activity as the people of God in ministering to one another is that we get alongside each other and we help each other in that movement of turning from the old and embracing and putting our faith in Jesus and letting Him lead us into the new. That's part of our calling. I mean, it's real basic to our calling in ministry, isn't it? And we have to keep coming back to each other. And new Christians, who are new to the Lord, they need us. They need you, my brother and my sister, alongside them. And they need help into the Scriptures and into remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, into God's commands, amen, and to learn what those are and why they're important. And how they're important for the new life to which God has called us. Amen. Because we are called to grow up. God takes us where we are, but doesn't leave us where we are. That's true for every single one of us in this room. And wherever we are right now, God doesn't leave us where we are right now. Amen. God has a move to make in our lives to change our thinking from what it is right now. It ain't where it's supposed to be yet, right? Change our hearts. Change the way we make decisions, what we decide about and why. God isn't through with that yet. And so it is about growth. God is about us growing up as God's children in Jesus Christ. And that also means growing up in ministry. Amen. So we minister to one another. So our topic today is, God gives us weapons of the Spirit. God gives us weapons of the Spirit to fight a battle we must fight if we're going to grow up into Christ. And if we're going to grow up as the people of God, as ministers to one another. Amen. This is such an important lesson for us, important teaching. God's gifts to us, the ones we've talked about, the gifts of comprehension and discernment, gifts for ministry, the gifts of a lifestyle, gifts of wisdom and worship. These are powerful gifts for growth in Christ, and they are given to us daily that we might receive them daily and thereby grow as God's children. But even with these gifts for growing up in Christ, growth is a struggle. It is a struggle, amen? In fact, the Bible even calls it a battle. It's a fight. We're involved in a fight in this growing up in Christ and becoming more like Christ and becoming a child of God. There's a fight. This growth does not happen without a fight. I enjoy watching nature films on TV. And I believe actually we learn from nature. I mean, God has things to say to us through God's creation. That's about us, and if we have ears to hear, we will hear. But one of the things I notice about nature films, especially the kingdom of animals, you know, there's a lot of fighting. There's a fight for survival goes on in these nature films, you know, and most animals got some predator they got to watch out for, and many have a lot of predators they have to watch out for, and they develop different defenses to deal with those predators that are out to get them. And I'm thinking that's kind of like us in some ways. I want us to think about just for a moment one of those animals, the lowly prairie dog, okay? Because we're kind of like prairie dogs. You're going to see how we are in a minute here. But I mean, these are rodents. They're closely related to the ground squirrel, but bigger, you know. They live in villages. They got community. And if you see a prairie dog village, there are a lot of mounds with holes all over. And some are really, they go on and on. They can go on for miles. And some of these villages can be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands. But they have an elaborate defense system. You know, among the things they have are these tunnels that go all over the place and connect here and there, and all kinds of escape hatches, you know, so they can have ways of getting away from a predator. Most predators, of course, can't get down through them, but things like snakes, they can do that. And then they have sentinels. They got these, like, watchdog prairie dogs that'll stand by a hole and just watch out, watch the terrain. And then if they see a predator coming, they will give these sharp, high barks, you know, to set the alarm, you know, let the rest of the community know that there's a predator. Not only that, but they make different sounds for different predators. So they can make one sound for a coyote, another for a wolf, another for an eagle, another for a hawk, another for a snake. You know, different. I thought, wow, that's really something. So the whole community even knows what kind of predator they got to watch out for, which seems to me could be important, you know, whether it's coming from the sky or coming across land or whether it's a predator that can go down into their holes, down their burrows. So they got this elaborate defense mechanism. Two things about this prairie dog situation. One is, it's all about survival. It's about life and death. This whole thing is about life and death. And secondly, these prairie dogs have the defenses and weapons fitted for the predator, for the enemy. You see? I'm going to say a few more things about that. But you know, I believe we are faced with something like the same thing, spiritually speaking. It's about our survival, my brothers and sisters, as God's children. That we are kept as God's children, grow as God's children. The predator we are up against is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And nothing less than that. And we need to understand that. The devil would have us spiritually dead. That's what he's after. He doesn't want any of us to stay on growing in Christ. He doesn't want us to stay as children of God. He doesn't want us to be kept. And he is out for our spiritual destruction. And we have a fight on our hands. And we need weapons that fit the predator. Amen. And therefore we need weapons of the Spirit. There are two points that I'm going to lift up today. And the first is know your enemy. And the second is use the weapons that work. Okay? Use the weapons that work. Know your enemy. And then use the weapons that truly work. The first point is know your enemy. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh. No, your enemy. It's against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our struggle, or as King James Version puts it, our wrestling. You know, we wrestle against our wrestling, which is a good translation of the Greek word, because the Greek word behind the English translation refers to the kind of wrestling matches that went on in Paul's day in the time of these early Christians. That's the word they used to talk about wrestling, which puts something on our minds, doesn't it? It means that these cosmic powers of this present darkness, these spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, are near. They're not far away. We wrestle with them. They're close up. It's like hand-to-hand combat here. It's not like you're shooting a missile at a distance, but what we wrestle with is right here. And that is our experience, isn't it? We are wrestling with stuff in our hearts and our minds. Things that are tempting us. Things that would seduce us and pull us away. It is close. This thing is close. This spiritual wrestling that we are a part of. And it's not against enemies of blood and flesh. The person who has been attacking you, they are not the real problem. that you're really going to have to deal with. That circumstance you are in, that is not the most dangerous thing you are facing. How you deal with that person who is attacking you, or that situation that seems to work against you, is the thing that matters. That's really going to matter about your life, about your relationship with God, about your growth in faith, about your growth in Jesus Christ. I was thinking again of the young Tutsi woman who wrote this book, shared her experience, left to tell. She spent months in a bathroom hiding from these Hutus that were killing Tutsis, killed her family, all but her brother who was out of the country. These killers were terrorizing the whole area. She was in there with about 7-8 other women in this bathroom for months on end. And she could hear them. They'd come into this house and they were searching the house for her. She'd hear her name. She heard their talking. She heard about what they were doing. And she was terrorized. But that enemy, that Hutu enemy, those killers of her family, even the circumstance she was in, she realized wasn't her biggest problem. It wasn't, as horrifying as all that was, it wasn't her biggest problem. And she realizes, especially when she found her heart being gripped by hatred and bitterness, it was taking her over. Because up to that point, she was depending on God for her very, very life. That she just, all she could do was just trust in God. There was nothing or no one else she could trust in but God in that situation. And as she found hatred welling up and bitterness, she found the channels blocked with God. She says, you know, I had to depend on God to even just begin to deal with this terror. The terror was gripping my heart, the fear. I couldn't deal with this without God. And if things aren't right with me and God, I'm in bigger trouble. And so I had to forgive. I had to forgive them even as they were running around being crazy. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. She had to cry out, God, help me to forgive. And God helped her, released her, so that she could go on depending on the God of forgiveness that forgives her. Amen. Because even in that situation, her biggest problem, your and my biggest problem, has to do with our relation with God. If things aren't right there, my sister and my brother, we're in trouble every place else. Everywhere. Every relationship. Every circumstance. And that is what Paul is putting in front of us right now when he says we're not up against flesh and blood, even when it feels like we are. There's a bigger thing going on. And there's a place that we'd be tripped up if we don't pay attention who's really out to get us. Amen. Bad things that happen to us. Here's another thing, my brothers and sisters. Because sometimes, you know, we get our focus way off and don't even know it's off. Bad things that happen to us are not necessarily the primary focus of the devil. You know, there's only one place I can think of in the New Testament where it talks about the devil throwing some into prison. About everything else, when it talks about what the devil does, he's tempting, seducing, deceiving. He's the father of liars. He's trying to tempt us away from the Lord God. That's his main mission. And you know, my sisters and brothers, personally, when my car breaks down and stalls and I can't get to where I'm going, I don't say the devil did it. I don't say devil stopped me from going. Devil's getting in the way. It's generally more like this. I think, well, it's an old car and it's breaking down and I probably needed to get it to a mechanic. But what I do need to be watching out for is how the tempter and seducer might be working on me in that situation. to react to what has happened to me. How I react, you see. How I respond, how I deal with it. Amen. Am I going to deal with it in the Spirit of God, or am I going to deal with it in the flesh? Amen. And besides, I don't really want to give the devil more credit than his due. I mean, there are a lot of bad things that happen just because some things... I bring bad things into my life because bad choices I make, and then I have to take responsibility to deal with. And there are some things that come into my life because of some things other people have done. And the world acts like the world. Amen? Shouldn't surprise any of us. But the devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And what he'd like to devour is our spiritual life. He would like to cut us off from the God who sustains us, who protects us, who's our provider, who's our healer, who's our deliverer. Amen? Who will deliver us out of some of those circumstances and situations as we depend on Him as our God and our Lord and our Savior. And that's where the devil really gets in moving. And he will use trials and tribulations, and he'll give us false escapes. But one way or another, what the devil is doing, he'll make evil look good. I believe that's his main thing. He comes as an angel of light. So when we're having struggles and tribulations, he'll give us an escape hatch and make it look good, but it won't help us. He'll tell us you could smoke something and you could be away with us for a while, you know. Or you can just go to the shopping mall. Maybe you don't have anything to spend, but you can at least window shop your way your problems. And we'll have all kinds of ways. We'll go away for a moment, and then we come back, and we still have to face it. Amen. Still got to deal with the same problem, same circumstance, and nothing has changed. And we haven't changed at all in order to deal with it. The devil will come to us as an angel of light. Our enemy who would destroy us comes not looking fierce and evil, but comes like an angel of light, and we are tempted into evil with something that looks good. You can see it all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? We're tempted with something that looks good. And when we're about to bite into that thing that looks good to us, the devil will even have us fighting against God for our own opinion on what we're about to do. You can check this out. We will reach out to what is good for us. What the devil has to do is make us think something's good for us that is not. And often it's something that's good for us, but not good for us right now. It's going to have to wait. You know, wait on that relationship. You know, wait for that thing you're going to call lovemaking. There isn't really lovemaking. Wait till you have a covenant with someone else. Wait for marriage. Wait. I mean, there's a lot of things like that, isn't there? That God created, God said is good, but it's not good right now. It's not for me right now. It's not what He has in my life right now. But He will put it in front of us, the devil will, and say, this is good. This is good. And it's good for you right now, and you got the opportunity right now. So apparently it really is good because the opportunity is there. Well, there's a lot of things like that. And you and I go out for what's good for us. Our problem is seeing it before it's already looking good. Amen? That we see the lie for what it is. That we've discerned it. That we see, that ain't for me. I know it's for me. God is telling me what's for me. He is showing me today what's for my life and what's for my life right now. So the devil works by making something look good. And then we bite into it. And then we'll fight with God. We'll say, God, I know it's good for me. God, I know you're going to overlook this because I'm doing all these other things that your word tells me to do. I've been reading your Bible. I'm trying real hard with all these things. And certainly you're going to overlook this little old thing. And all we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to believe the father of liars right now. that what he's putting in front of me is good, is good. James breaks it down for us, this process of temptation. He says, one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Spiritual death. That's what the devil is about. Amen. The devil is subtle, scheming, deceitful, and lies with great effectiveness. If we are without the weapons to defeat him, he would surely have us. The devil lies. He makes what is false look good, makes what is evil look good. He hands out excuses for our not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. He attacks us with doubts, tempts us to unbelief and loss of trust in God. He would drive us from our Savior and our salvation. He would replace God's word with our own words, even our own religious words. And so we need weapons by which we can defeat this enemy. That brings me to the second point. Use the weapons that work. Use the weapons that work. We need weapons that fit the enemy. We need the belt of truth that will see through the lies. We need the breastplate of righteousness that will show us what is right and fitting, that fits with God's will and what God has for us. We need shoes for our feet that will make us ready to proclaim the gospel of peace in season and out of season, not just when we think. The shield of faith, with which we'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, all those temptations to unbelief, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul calls this the whole armor of God. And these are the weapons that work, my brothers and sisters. Now, there are weapons you and I have often tried that do not work. The weapons that work are not the weapons we tend to give ourselves, left to ourselves. Because we'll try to discern the truth with the knowledge and wisdom we receive from the world. Can't defeat the devil, the father of liars, the great deceiver, with the world's wisdom. Okay, whatever we've learned from the talk shows and from magazines and from the media out here isn't going to be enough to help us to deal with the deceits of the devil. Or working harder to be better. That's not going to help us overcome the temptation of the devil. He'll always show something that looks good, and we're going to fall for it if we're just trying in our own strength. Or tell ourselves we can always share the good news at another time. This is our mission, right? So this is why we're in a season, in the right season, you know, which is usually the season I feel like it. Or we try to think our way out of our doubts. Rather than the shield of faith, we try to make ourselves believe. Or we begin to try to save ourselves out of a situation or relationship or circumstance or out of our own sin. We need the helmet of salvation instead. Or we begin to make up our own words in the place of God's Word when we're not taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have you been trying weapons of your own making, my brothers and sisters? Have those, ask yourself the question, how have those weapons done? Have they truly helped? Do you find yourself getting more entangled in the devil's trap? The Lord's word to us today is put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, my brothers and sisters, God's armor is Jesus Christ. If you look at this armor, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm thinking back to Ephesians chapter 2, that earlier chapter where we read that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised him up to the right hand of God the Father, above all powers, all those spiritual powers of darkness, all those cosmic powers of darkness. He's raised him above, raised Jesus Christ above all those. And then Paul says, we have been raised with him. And in Christ Jesus, we are above those things. We have the victory. In Christ, we conquer. In Christ. Christ Jesus is our armor. Amen. Amen. He's our armor. In Him. With Him. We have the victory. Jesus is the truth. Put in Him on. He's that belt of truth. Jesus is our righteousness. Make Him your breastplate. Put Him on. Jesus' feet took Him wherever He needed to go to share the good news. So put on His shoes. You know, put Him on. Jesus walked by faith and lived and operated by the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. So put Jesus on. Take up the same sword that is ours in Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He is God's armor that is given to us that we might withstand on that evil day and have done everything to stand firm. That evil day can be any day. Amen, my sisters and brothers. And some days may feel more evil to us, but the devil is out to get us. Amen. Sometimes we feel ourselves under great attack, and we easily call it an evil day. But we have what it takes to withstand the evil day and to stand firm. Here is Jesus' promise to us. Hear this, my brothers and sisters. After telling us our mission, what His will for us, after telling us go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, that's what we're to do, all of us. He says to us then, He says, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with you, my brother, my sister. Hear the good news. His truth is near you. His righteousness is near you. His discernment by faith is near you. Because Jesus is with you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus told us that He would not leave us to our own defenses. He told us that He would send the Helper, the Paraclete, which literally means one who comes to stand alongside, who would apply Jesus to us, who would apply God's armor to us. He says when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Paraclete, the one who is alongside us, the Spirit of Christ, the armor, it is there. It is there for you and it is there for me. It is there in each circumstance and situation, relationship, each trial and tribulation, every kind of temptation that we go through. The weapons you need, my brother, my sister, are near you. They are not far away. That is why Paul says that God will also provide the way out of temptation so that you may be able to endure it. God provides a way of escape. Why? Because the weapons are right there. You don't have to go. You don't have to reach up into heavens to bring it down or reach down into the abyss to bring it up. It's right there in Christ. Right there. You don't have to say, oh, I need God to really do something really strong with me or I won't be able to overcome this thing. He already has in Christ Jesus. Let Him do it right now in this situation and depend on Him for it. He wants you to just believe Him today for it. Amen. You know, going back to those prairie dogs, they had this elaborate system for defending themselves, but, you know, it wouldn't help them at all unless they used it. Now, apparently they use it because most of their predators aren't able to get them. They mostly go away empty-handed. My brothers, my sisters, you have been getting everything you need to withstand the attacks of the evil one. But the point is, use what has been given to you. Take it up by faith. Turn from anything else that is not a weapon that God gives you. Don't keep trying to do it in your own strength. Trust Him for it. Depend on Him for it. Imagine that your enemy has a little knife in their hand. You got your hands empty, but there's a sword right at your side. Now, how much sense would it make to go fight your enemy as a knife with bare hands? And you got a sword you can reach out for and take into your hands. Now, if a sword isn't enough for you, you can make it whatever other weapon you want. But the truth is, with the weapons of the Spirit, the devil has to flee. The devil has nothing the devil can do. He has been vanquished in Jesus Christ, who was raised to the right hand of the Father. And the victory has already been attained for us. And the weapons are already ours. They're ours in Him, in the power of the Spirit. Don't leave it to the side. Don't keep trying to do it in your own flesh, your own strength. The weapon is for you. Watch the devil flee. Take up the weapons of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of discernment that God gives. And watch, the devil just has to flee. I think if I have a sword in my hand, that other person has a little old knife, they're going to leave. Amen. And the devil has to face a lot more when he has to deal with the weapons of the Spirit, with Jesus Christ, who has been raised for our justification, for our victory over sin, death, and the devil. Amen. And the word is, believe it. Jesus says, believe me for this now, my sisters and my brothers. Jesus was raised for you. Victory today is yours. Therefore, verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times. See, you got it. It's right there. So operate in it. That's what that means. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't pray in the flesh. Don't try to do it. Do anything in your own self, in your own strength. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the power of Jesus Christ. You know, pray with that belt of truth on, the breastplate of righteousness on, and the shield of faith. Pray in the Spirit. That's what it's about. And there's victory in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. If you've been made alive by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. And you'll have your victory in the Spirit. And then pray for each other. Pray for each other. Always persevere in supplication for all the saints. I'm going to tell you one other thing about these prairie dogs. This is kind of neat. That sentinel, that watchdog prairie dog that's standing out watching for the predator and sees the predator, makes the signal, lets the whole community know what's happening. As the predator gets closer and closer and closer, and then gets just a little too close, that prairie dog shoots down into the burrow, and another one shoots up way far away from another part of the village. I don't know how they do this. Shoots up and watches the predator from a distance until it starts to get a little closer, closer, closer. And then it shoots down, and then another one comes up from another place. And I believe that's the body of Christ. That's you and I. Because sometimes we see a sister or brother really going through it. And we can see they're going through it. They're under all kinds of temptation and trial and tribulation. And they are tempted for all the wrong escape hatches. Not the ones God gave. And we are to pray for them. We are like the sentinel that's got some distance from it. You know, we're not maybe into it right now. And they're struggling with their very faith to keep on believing. And we're able to believe right now. We're really strong in faith. So we just pray for that saint. We pray God's power on that saint to give them the faith they need and to take up the weapons of the Spirit so they can fight through that trial and that temptation. Some other time it'll be us. And we're starting to get weakened. Weakened in the Spirit, weakened in faith. But we got another watchdog prairie dog, brother or sister, who's got some distance from what we're going through, but they're praying for us. They're not in the midst of the mess that we're in, but they're praying for us. And we are being strengthened by their prayers in faith and in the power of the Spirit. That's why we need the body of Christ, isn't it? We need each other. Oh, we need each other so much. That's why the word is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This week, you go to a sister or brother that you don't see here this morning and remind them how important the body is. Now, God will give you a gracious way to do it, but encourage them that what they need is in Christ and in the body of Christ. Because sometimes some of us don't come because we got into it real deep. And we don't even have enough faith to get ourselves out of bed. And some of us that have been on the journey for a while and know that trick already, we need to help some of our sisters and brothers know that's a trick of the devil. And we need to pray for them on that and minister to them in the Spirit. Make use of the entire weapon system at your disposal. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Oh, when you're tempted by your comfort zone to not share with the other good news, with others the good news, you put on those feet of Jesus, okay? Put on those shoes of the gospel of peace. That was interesting to me that that's one of the weapons that are given to us. Because we are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And we are given shoes to put on that will take us to others to share that good news. Amen. When you're having trouble coming out of your comfort zone, when I'm having trouble coming out of my comfort zone, we got something to put on. Amen. Because we know God is calling us out of that comfort zone. And He's calling us to share good news with somebody else. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the final thing I want to just put on our hearts and minds today. With the sword of the Spirit, you and I can advance. Amen. I mean, that's an offensive weapon. And that means we can tear down the strongholds of the devil. Amen. We can tear down strongholds. With the Word of God, we fail the devil. The devil has to just leave. The devil can't deal with the Word of God. And we can just advance. We can advance against the hosts of darkness with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And that means, my brothers and sisters, that we are equipped for ministry. Amen. I mean, that sword isn't just for us to keep the devil off ourselves, me, myself, and I. That's a weapon for ministry. We can enter into someone else's situation, and we can bring down strongholds out of their life. We can speak the word of deliverance, the word of healing in the name of Jesus in their life. And they can be released by the same one who has released us. Amen. And saved us. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Put on the whole armor of God. Put the whole thing on. Right now. Whatever you're facing. Whatever you're having to deal with. Take it up. Are you tired of trying to fend off the devil on your own? Are you tired of trying to do God's job in your own strength? Put on God's armor. He's got what you need. To have victory today. To be more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. Say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Lord, You've given us everything we need for life and for salvation. For the building of relationships, homes, families. For overcoming our own sin and selfishness and brokenness. Overcome the devil and his forces. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. It frees us too. It frees us from slavish fear. We can advance against the evil one today. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.